Blog Talk Radio.
It's the Morning Show.
Okay, you want to rehearse it one time before we go in there?
With award-winning journalist Cheryl Smith.
I'm good. I'm not that good.
Bringing you informative, enlightening, thought-provoking, inspiring, and entertaining talk radio.
Young people going to stand up real quick. Come on. Come on. Yo, everybody, come get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Don't be cute with it. You got to get, come on. Fifth one. Fourth one. Come on. Sing it.
Come on.
What's the deal, cowboy?
Wait. They don't want to hit the horn.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the World Quarter to Drew. I'm Andrew with him live from Studio A. This morning, what a morning. I tell you, it's the 21st day of March. And yesterday, hopefully, we'll get someone on, get Harold to text him and tell him to come on in so we can wish him a happy birthday live on the air. Again, welcome to the World Quarter to Drew. So much to talk about. So little time to do it. As always, read the African-American newspapers no matter where you are. We have a conglomerate of news resources led by the great Cheryl Smith. We have My Eye Messenger, which is an online publication that you can get weekly. We have the Texas Metro News as well as the Garland Journal. So there's no excuse for getting the news because we got it all here. And then we start the week off as always, with the World According to Drew. Some of the things I want you to think about this morning, the hate crimes in Atlanta, or are they calling them hate crimes, or are they just murders? We'll talk about that this morning. Vaccinations in this country with COVID, we'll look at the numbers and see what's going on. Did we reach the president's goal as far as getting people vaccinated? What is going on at the border? We've opened the gate, so to speak, but they are protecting those who are coming, quarantining. We want to hear you talk about it a little bit. Governor Cuomo, what's going on with him? What's going on with Deshaun Watson? Similarities that we're going to put together on that a little bit later this morning. Miami in a state of emergency, spring break, opening up, mask, confusion in the state of Florida. And last but definitely not least, and we'll talk about more things as well, the bubble burst on the NCAA. And we'll talk about that. I know our Roman reporter this morning. Let's get him in before he get out. Good morning, Brother Hubbard. Good morning. Quickly.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. How we doing, brother?
Good, good. Boy, it sounds like you got your blood pumping this morning.
Man, I've been up rolling, man, since 5 o'clock, man. I'm out here trying to do some volunteer work.
All right. Well, we appreciate what you're doing. We appreciate all the volunteers. I tell you, sometimes you can't put a price on volunteering and the people that you're helping. This is just
that's
amazing.
Right. That's right. That's right.
But my hat's off to you.
We got a lot going on this morning.
Oh, man. But I want to get you. I know you fading in and out on me this morning. But I want to hit you high and heavy with this hate crime in Atlanta this week. Went on, 8 people are dead, 6 Asian people, Asian women to be exact, were killed this week. And they say it's not a hate crime. What's your definition? How do you see what happened?
Oh, it's definitely a hate crime. I put that solely on 45 with all his China virus rhetoric. There's no way around it. There's been no reports that there was any illicit behavior going on, because that's one angle they tried to say, that maybe he was targeting because of that, and you know, he didn't get his happy ending or something. But I definitely believe it was a hate crime for sure.
Right, and you know, and I agree too, because anytime a specific group has been targeted, I think there needs to be consideration on that level as far as the federal government. I'm sure through the casing, and the young man said he just was shooting people. Come on, that anytime you target, I can see, you know how we say black man, white man, Indian man, chief, you know how you used to say everybody, include everybody, but this particular group at massage parlors said he was a sex addict. Now, that pill, you know how you said, like peeling the horns. That's taking a little bit off the orange there, a sex addict. Now, did they not give you what you paid for? Did you have different expectations?
Exactly.
You know, it's a lot of questions that need to be answered, unfortunately, on this one. But anytime you target it, a specific group of individuals and the innocent, you know, again, we don't know how the business is run, but, you know, this young man just went on a rampage and lived to talk about it.
Exactly. He got took in.
That's the angle I want to talk about. Live to talk about it. Had it been you, had it been me, had it been a lot of people I know they might not be able to tell their story. Was it right, wrong, or indifferent? But this young man gets a chance to tell his story. You know, you know my angle, Hal. You could sell DVDs, work for Blackbuster. If you don't know what Blackbuster, that's Blockbuster, our version. Those CDs we should sell. Videos on the corner. You could lose your life in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, selling DVDs. Targeted. Now, for once it wasn't, you know, I love our brothers and sisters of law enforcement. A lot of the things have been on that. But there have been an arrangement, I put it like that. And understand what I'm saying, arrangement. There has been something going on as of late where a lot of our Asian brothers and sisters have been targeted. Elderly walking down the street getting pushed down. I think that's kind of cowardly. You're going to attack the elderly because they can't defend themselves. Getting pushed down on corners.
Exactly.
And then you have, this is, you know, we're supposed to be the land of milk and honey, and we're skating. We can't even walk freely. We have to skate wherever we go, get there a little quicker. And that's very unfortunate. You know, they talk about Lincoln's promise and the land of milk and honey. And, man, this world is going backwards. And it all started, Hal. I still was not, you know, my motto on 45-9-1, when you said the virus started in China. Remember, we stopped trading with China. And I always say, go in your house right now and look. You'll probably have about 10 to 12 things made in China. We cut the grain off. Man, listen to how the domino started. We cut the grain off the farmers in the Midwest. They said they wanted trade and not aid. They cried for it because they may have gotten their money, but now they're stuck with product, and now they had to get that product, either sell it or burn it or whatever they had to do, but they couldn't hold it. It slowed their process down. And then comes COVID-19. Don't forget, I explained over the years, COVID-19 was discovered in November of 2019. We responded in February or March of 2020. Had we not dispersed the world's connection with health, we would have been prepared for this COVID-19. Here we are a year later. Do you call it an anniversary? I'm going to call it just the day that it happened. It came and rolled around. How many lives were lost? And the domino effect it had on this country. But when we blame other people, you don't know what influence you have on folks. Is it January 6th again? In a different way. And we're still talking about that fiasco. But if you go through, hell, I don't have to be inch out private eye. I don't have to be, and for you, we got an adult group. We don't have to be Barnaby Jones, Columbo, Angie Dickinson, Mission Impossible, to know where the source started. It started right there on 4500 Black Lives Matter Boulevard. People are still taking the heart after 45-9-1 has been voted out of office, and the influx or influence, I'm going to use all of them that you can put together on it, to go out here and hurt people. Now, we know it's been going on for many years, and we've been caught on the other side of the gun. But now, the ugliness has raised its head again. Hate crime. and live to talk about it. What are we going to do, folks? The people that you can touch, your local representatives, you need to talk with them so we can get some legislation. That's how the process works. You can start out local. Go statewide, regional, national. But it's time to speak up. But I want you to remember this. The focus may have changed for now. But we must not forget that we've had a target on our backs over 400 years. Let's not forget. Let's try to get a piece of this American pie and live our dream as well. But we all know if the shoe was on the other foot, brothers, sisters, anyone of color would not have lived to tell their story about a situation like this. It's amazing. Truly amazing. So, Harold, you out there? What kind of volunteer work are you doing this morning?
Helping people move some furniture around.
I hear you.
Can you believe it?
Well, that's okay. Sometimes you got to lend a hand. Lend a hand. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, but I'm going to be on here checking you out and listening in and commenting when I can.
All right. But we appreciate you.
Oh, yeah.
So, I just want to know, I hope I'm not throwing you under the bus. Did you get your vaccination?
My what?
Did you get your vaccination?
What'd you say? Boy, if you don't stop cussing me out on Sunday morning. Or trying to get me to cuss.
Oh, well, don't cuss.
You know I'm not getting inoculated.
Huh?
I mean, I want y'all to get it so we can have herd coverage, but no, I'm gonna sit this one out for the next round.
All right, but
I'm gonna make sure all you healthcare workers and educators get y'all. I wouldn't want to waste one on me.
No, we need you to waste one on you. We want you to be, you know what, even in the healthcare field, we, you know, when there's some skepticism, doubts, and every word you can think about. You know, they could be polio, with the flu shot. You know, I was hearing people have a conversation about, well, if we can do the flu, you know, this COVID we'll have. Well, this is uncharted waters for us.
Yeah. But I got antibodies, man. That's what my story is. I got antibodies.
Yeah, but, you know, you got your shield. You got your shield. I hear you. But we want your shield to be bigger and better.
Okay.
Bigger and better. And, you know, you talk about antibodies. Just recently, a parent that had COVID, child, mother gave birth, and the baby had some antibodies of the COVID the COVID molecule in their system. So that might be the future of protecting the next generation. You know, but again, the swine flu, all the flus and things that we've gone through in our lifetime, we just have to be prepared. Be prepared. Because our future, you know, George Benson said it, Whitney Houston, I believe our future. Believe in our future. Teach your children. Let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. They're the future. And if this world is going to continue, you know, we almost to that last hurdle for ourselves. And all we can do is look back, reminisce over all the hurdles we've had in our lives, and tell our kids, our relatives, the young folks, what to expect. But the way they jump their hurdles might be totally different than what we did compared to even what our parents accomplished. But that's the way it goes. And if you want to put, I know we have some social workers on, that's the good old folklore, Harold. That's what the textbook call it, folklore. And all it is just family history being passed down. Talk about it. And we're all guilty. We have not had an opportunity to sit down with our kids or family members like we used to do on Sundays and talk about things. We need to reinstill that because we have such a rich history and nobody to tell it to. Why not tell it to your family? And then it'll spread out to others. So, Mr. Herd Immunity, I just said Herd, what immunity? It's fine. But we need it. We're going to herd up. Let's get some shots. You know,
is
everybody.
Herd immunity or herd inoculation?
Yeah. Well, we know what we're talking about. We just need to protect, get some armor to protect ourselves to potentially live longer. You're going to have doubters. That's understood. I was one doubter, Harold, but it took my own viewing, I'll put it like that, to see what this stuff could do. And it ain't pretty. Remember my grandmother said, God don't like ugly and ain't too crazy about pretty. That's what she used to tell us. It ain't pretty at all. But hopefully we can get control of this and it can be like polio when we were kids, how dangerous we thought that was until we got the little, with the little drops on your tongue. That age group, Harold. Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, but it's all good. We got to do right from that standpoint. For those who are listening, welcome to the world according to Drew. Excuse me, yeah, that little frog trying to come back. I've been talking all weekend. Want to say good morning to a group of fam viewers. Yesterday, Harold, we had a one-year anniversary of the Zoom calls. And we, we talked past 11 o'clock Central Time, so it was midnight on the East Coast. And people that we were in school with, it was really nice getting together. We used to get together every Friday. That was our entertainment during COVID. But I want to say good morning to them. And we have so many people on this morning. We have our number one listener, Harold. She's on. Good morning. And for those who are just getting on, we've talked about a couple of things. I want to know what you think about the killing in Atlanta or the Atlanta metropolitan area. 8 people dead. 6 were Asians. Question for today, was this a hate crime? All you got to do is press 1. We'll get you on. But that's what we want to know. My analogy earlier, had I, or anyone of color, just about, was to pull off something like this, I think it would have been tagged immediately as a hate crime. We want to hear what you have to say about it. All you got to do is press 1. I'll bring you up. We got Harold working hard this morning and with us volunteering. At least that's what he told me. He's volunteering. He might get some gas out of it. Who knows? Who knows? Who knows? But what do you think about, and that's for the listening audience, about this situation so far? The alleged killer said he was a sex addict. I guess he had frequented these massage parlors. And I don't know. You know what was going through his head. Only he knows. But whatever's going through his head, 8 people were killed in the metropolitan area of Atlanta, Georgia. Wow.
And as you said, he is still alive to think about it.
Right. He's able to talk about it. I'm sure if we'd have been in custody, I'm just telling you, we're just repeating the history, would have been abused and bruised in the jail cell this morning. It has happened. Now, people have died doing less hell. Traffic tickets, lights out on the car, selling DVDs in the street, have lost their lives. And even if we were on the other end, you would hear all kind of rumbling that this was going on. And it hurts as a citizen. You know, and I hate to use this analogy, but I've been using it. You can really see where I'm going. And one of the things, how they say, even Stephen Wonder can see this going on. I apologize if I stepped on toes, but I'm just telling you how I feel or how the injustice of this country operates. So everybody deserves a trial. But how many things you have to do to form a conclusion on it? That's the way I feel, and I want to know how you feel. Press 1, and we'll get you on. While you all are getting your nerves together with the situation, again, with COVID, let me see, I think somebody wanted to come on. Okay, no, not yet. Worldwide, COVID right now, 123 million cases, 2.71 million people have died. In the United States, 29.8 million cases, 541,000 people have died. In Texas, 2.75 million people have tested positive. 47,462 people have died. Dallas County, 288,000 people, 3,757 deaths in Dallas County. What is going on, folks? We've circled the wagon in vaccinations are there. We're still, even with the vaccination, we want you to still practice social distancing and wear your mask. It's a shame. We walk in the skin that we're in, and you're fearful. When you have kids, all you want to do is see them again, multiple times. We don't know what the future holds. And now the Asian community, and we're talking about China, Japanese, Korean, people are walking with fear. We know as a race how this feels, but in the land of milk and honey, no one should have to feel what we felt in the past. if you make an example, a legal example, of someone taking lives, I think people will be less apt to do it. What was just done recently in the metropolitan area of Atlanta. Something to think about. Something to think about. Where do we go from here? I see we have some callers. We want you to chime in on it. Press 1. You can ask questions or just give your thoughts about it. About what's going on in Atlanta. Could easily happen in Dallas or anywhere in the continental United States, Hawaii and Alaska included. What do we do? Other things to think about, speaking of what's going on in Texas, the borders is getting full again with the housing, kids being separated, quarantine. Now the blame game is going on between parties. I expected that. Most of us expected that. A party's criticizing the other party. Been open, and that's what we've always said. We've been open in this country for as long as the country's been around. The only people, from what we understand, that were here were our Native Americans, my brothers and sisters, are Native Americans. I'll put it like that. Well, people came from Europe. And people came from Africa. They helped create this that we now call America. What's going on? Sound like Marvin Gaye, what's going on? That's our thing. Just to stimulate your mind here, we have a faithful caller from Louisiana. Good morning, sir. Welcome to the World According to Drew.
Hey, God bless you, good brothers. How you all doing?
Great, great.
Good. Yeah, it's interesting with the whole, I guess, illegal immigration thing going on. Are you all familiar with Dr. Claude Anderson?
No, I can't even say no. I'm going to say it. Can't say yes.
Yeah. Give me something about it. He wrote a book called Powernomics. It deals with the economic history and the development of economics in the black community, and several other books. But he used to be in the Carter administration, and forgot what his exact position was. But he said after the civil rights movement of the '60s occurred, and once blacks began to make gains in terms of public access to housing and transportation and jobs and whatnot. At that point in time, that's when they started to open up the borders for illegal immigration because they needed a buffer group between whites and blacks, and the illegal immigrants would be served to create a buffer group between whites and blacks, and therefore you've had this mass increase of illegal immigration occurring in the U.S. A lot of it really ramped up with Reagan, too. He was always a great friend to blacks. Ronald Reagan, I'm being very sarcastic when I say that. So a lot of what we're seeing, blacks are really, and he said blacks at one time were the second minority. By the time it ends up, blacks would probably be number 4 or 5 in terms of minorities. We'll be that far down at the bottom of the rungs. So, again, blacks have a tendency to reach out for others to help their plight, but our plight continues to go down the ladder, and no one's really helping us to the extent that we help others. So, again, we want to look out for humanitarian aid and interest for others, but we also want to look out after our own humanitarian aid and interest because they say it's not going to be pretty by the time all this ends. Blacks will be beneath Hispanics, Asians, and whoever else you want to put in there. Blacks will be at the bottom of the heap as usual. So that's something that I look at when I see this illegal immigration happening and just the opening of the borders. What's really going to happen to the black community when it's all said and done? And like I said, it's not going to be pretty from what I hear. So that's my take on that one. In terms of Atlanta, that was a devastating event in terms of the racist you had who killed the Asians in Atlanta. That's just, you know, some psychopath gone mad, I'm sure. From what I can tell, it's definitely a hate crime, you know, just to single them out. Also, now what's going on with Florida? I know they have one of the dumbest governors in the state, DeSantis, whatever his name is. What's going on with Florida now? You mentioned something about that.
Well, you know, down in Miami, I call that the spring break capital of the world. Now, Texas is Galveston, Corpus, but down there, a lot of people love to go to Miami Beach.
Right.
And so they put a curfew, 8 o'clock curfew.
Okay.
Now, you know what time changed, 8 o'clock still light down there, y'all.
Uh-huh.
Just start on the East Coast, a little dark. So they, you know, told businesses to shut down. And,
right.
And, you know, people didn't like the idea of it. Of course, we have to understand where I stand. We have to adhere to ordinances of certain cities.
Right.
It affected a lot of people, both black, white, in that area, you know, for right. So I know they were upset. But looting and everything else is not always the answer to it. We end up getting hurt. You know, Miami has a history of a lot of things over the years. About the immigrants that came over from Cuba and then from the island. And then in 1980, when Arthur McDuffie was shot, and it Sunday, but all hell broke loose in Miami. And I was a teenager at the time. But I remember the aftermath of that, what happened in Miami. Right. So there's been a lot of unrest down there over the years, and now most recently with this spring break. And you
now,
can
they
see
have
that
a,
go ahead, I'm sorry.
Did they do away with the regulations in Florida like they did in Texas in terms of just opening all businesses up and,
I don't know if they've officially got rid of the mask, but you can see in the pictures from down there, a lot of people did not wear masks. And I know Texas, Mississippi, Arkansas is about to go with it.
Yeah.
And then a lot of GOP state. The census, he's a little slow about it. Excuse me. Because he knew March was coming and he was going to make some money.
He's going to make some money, is it?
You know, yeah. He conveniently kind of slipped on it so that the state could recover with some money. But then you put a curfew.
Yeah.
Like, I got you now. You hear?
Mm-hmm.
We're going. And then so people backlash.
Right. Like I said, he's one of the dumber governors we have in the United States.
Eric, he strategically delayed the announcement. Because if you shut things down at 8, if I would have known that in my planning stages, do you think I would have been down there?
Right. Yeah. Well.
I thought you had another question. I'm sorry.
No,
go ahead.
I'm saying he's holding up his legacy of stupidity, so and greed. So I'm not surprised at all what happened with him being governor there. It'd be sad to see him run as a presidential candidate for the Republicans. But I could see them voting for somebody foolish like him. So,
Well, there's going to be a lot in the race. It's going to be interesting. And then we may have a repeat of candidates running.
Mm-hmm.
So they, I don't know, it could strengthen, it could break down their strength in the party. Right now, you got a lot of people jockeying for position, trying to be in that hot seat as far as representing.
Now, did y'all hear about did y'all hear about Biden falling down four times? Is that, did you hear anything about that?
Yeah, I did hear about that. And I was asked to think about what 45 said about him. So we've had a crash foot and then now falling down. Just got to be careful. You know, it just got to be careful. It can happen to you and I. You know, more apt to fall.
Yeah, I'm not sure if either one of those guys would be in good enough condition to run 4 years from now, whether it's Trump or Biden. I don't see them as pillars of health, you know. It'd be
That's something, because right now this country is in uncharted waters with ages for the presidency.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do we swing young or do we continue to get older?
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like this DeSantis clown, I could really see him being a top candidate in the next 4 years, you know. And, you know, like I said, he's dumb as all outdoors. And but they like that type of, you know, cavalier, of candidate, you know.
Well, don't forget the great state of Texas. You got two. You got the governor and Ted Cruz.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, I'm sure we haven't heard the last of them. Because the governor of Texas has been very vocal in what President Biden and his administration has done at the border.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But still, go back 2-3 years ago when they separated the kids, which I don't care who, how do you separate them?
Mm-hmm.
You know, get to Mexico to, and I know people are fleeting for opportunity. But the thing is, it hurts my heart when you separate kids from their family members.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what's going on behind the door.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, too, because...
Go ahead.
Yeah, supposedly a lot of U.S. policies have been very detrimental to those southern and central American countries, which I guess has put them in a bad shape that they're in now, I guess, creating the conditions for them to want to lead their own country. Now, on the other hand, I mean, you fight for your own country, too, you know. So where does that come into play? You know, blacks have to fight for what we have here, you know. And so when do other countries in their citizenry start to fight what they have going against what's going on in their own country? So each administration had its role to play in this whole thing, too, because they're talking about the cages that the children were put into. And supposedly Obama-Biden administration built those cages, and I guess the Trump administration followed through on those policies. So you had both Republicans and Democrats having their hands dirty in this whole situation.
You're absolutely correct. But again, you know, I feel bad. You have kids.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them probably can't speak any English. They have no phone numbers, no other than family members, you know, that are already here.
Mm.
And so, you know, it puts them in a pickle, so to speak. And that
but
really
don't you think the Biden administration, don't you think they knew that already, that could happen?
Oh, yeah. I mean.
So why would they allow
again,
to create a situation for that to occur? Yes. Yeah, why would they create a situation that to come about, you know. Like, I think both parties are thugs. Like I mentioned last week, so I don't cut either party any slack. So I'm not trying to come off as a Republican or a Democrat. But they've had to know that this could have come about. And what was the motive for allowing this kind of situation to occur, or motives to occur? So.
Well, you know, you look at the situation, if we go back 4 years ago, when they strengthened the policies about the immigration, my problem that I have, even if you contain them, everybody deserves something positive. The conditions could have been a lot better for those individuals. You know, again, and some of the people were trying to make sure their kids didn't grow up the way they did. We need to be the breadbasket for the world. Because we're the melting pot. You have probably every nationality here in America. Unlike that of Africa or China. I mean, we have communities. And you can come in Dallas, and I'm just pointing out, we have South Dallas. They have Highland Park. They have areas throughout our brothers and sisters from Asia. They have communities. And Eric, you can go in North Dallas and find a whole community in Oriental Script. Well, we drive by and don't know it's a bank or a grocery store.
Right.
They have communities, and they support their communities. We get one black grocer, and we understand if you don't have a big chain, you can't get the best prices based on bulk. And some black grocery stores never make it because we don't support it.
Let me ask you this. When was the last time you saw a homeless I don't see them too much around here. When was the last time you saw a homeless Hispanic person? Do they have many of them there? Or?
Well, we have a few here in Dallas.
Okay.
It is pretty much geographical. You seem to see more homeless in our neighborhood that look like us. Up north, you get a variety. Excuse me. If you go to an area, maybe West Dallas, or some areas of Oakland, that you may see a heavier Hispanic population that may be
homeless. I don't see that many in New Orleans, and you know, you got to give them. They support their own cause. They got to support their own causes. You know, their own communities.
Right.
But again, blacks, we don't organize like we should. We always end up on the corners being homeless. And while other groups come in and take care of business and move on forward. So in some ways, we shoot ourselves in the foot a lot, you know. And, you know, there's reasons behind that, too. You know, they have a unified culture which they can rally around and feel unified. And we're still trying to get to that point where we can rally around our own culture and feel unified and make sure we go out our way to support each other. So it's a, like I said, it's a mix of things that's really going to make it real even more difficult for the black community to deal with this whole illegal immigration issue. I know you have some blacks supporting it, but I understand that. But in the long run, what effect or what toll will it have on the black community also? So it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
But, you know, we've always been in a predicament, and this is traditionally is that they divided us so that we can't come together. And then when you don't have those restrictions, we have a tendency not to want to get together and pool our resources.
And it's crucial. That's why you don't see too many homeless Hispanics, because it seems like they pull those resources together, you know. However, you know, there's some positions and jobs that they're taking or using that we can't get access to now in terms of construction and who knows what else, you know. But like I said, it's a dangerous mix that comes about. And you know, blacks really don't change their ways of doing things. You know, you really, like I said, they're going to be beneath Asians, Hispanic,
right?
Huh?
You know, and we need to change that mindset, because there are jobs. Are we willing? Now, let's go back 20 years ago, maybe 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We did a lot of domestic work. We did construction. We did yard work. We did a lot of things that entrepreneurs do. Now, 30 years later, we don't want to cut yards anymore. There's not a day in the summertime where I have to zigzag to get to my home, because there's trailers full of lawnmowers out in the neighborhood. You know, we used to have nice restaurants. We still have the area in South Dallas where you can get some oxtail, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you far in between, there are some Jamaican restaurants. Excuse me.
Right.
Yes, that will do the, you know, the soul food cooking. So you can name that. We have not come together ourselves. You know, in Dallas, Dallas is unique. You have South Dallas. You have South Oak Cliff. You know, still primarily where we live. We've gone to DeSoto, some of the suburbs, you know, working our way south. And what we fail to realize, as we move south, they go a little further south, and then when we catch up, they coming back into the city.
Who's that, whites?
Yeah, back into the city, high-rise apartments. Of us are able to pay it, but we're the minority again when you look at the development in downtown.
Well, you know, just talking about other ethnic groups, I understand the Arabs and whoever else, when they come to various cities, they know they go to the black community because that's where they can set up shop and businesses, you know. And
right.
You know, how many black-owned businesses do you have in Asian communities? But you'll see Asian businesses in the black community, you know, or how many black-owned businesses do you see in the Arab communities, you know? But they all know where to come to make their money. They know to come to the black community to make their money.
Right.
To start out with.
And Eric, there's so much that we need to know. I've had friends who work for major food companies. I won't call one out. But when they do beverages, alcohol beverages, we're just going to call it the way it is, things that may not sell in North Dallas. Are you aware sometimes that they bring the goods back and re-stamp them, and we get it in our neighborhoods?
Mm-hmm.
A very common practice in a lot of the major beverage company.
Yeah.
Major beverage. Now, I left that open because there's quite a few of them that practice that. So check your date, folks, when you go in. I don't care where you are to get your food or drink. Check your date.
Yeah.
And you know how good meat look. If it's starting to turn, you don't get it. There was a couple of companies throughout this country. Food Line was one. I don't know where they are now. But they were caught bleaching their meat that had expired. So they lightened it up.
I used to live in Maryland. They had Food Line up in Maryland.
Right.
I have to see if they're still even in the business.
Right here in Texas. But see, we have to be smart shoppers. We have to be very observant. And if you have choices, utilize your choices. Don't get stuck on one particular thing. But that's it. You have to, you know what you can and cannot do. But you deserve the best. And definitely don't take the less. You deserve that. Or what? You know, what is offered.
Right.
For those who are listening, welcome to the world, according to Drew. Oh, I've been talking all week, so you might hear a little crack in my voice, but that's not going to stop me. It's not going to stop me. It's at the top of the hour. We'll finish up in 1 hour. We want to know how you feel. Whether or not it was a hate crime in Atlanta, how do you feel about the vaccine? What's going on at the border? A little bit later, we'll talk about Governor Cooper and Deshaun Watson. You said, well, how do you put them together? They're the same thing right now. And I'll give you my spiel on what I feel is going on with Deshaun. Okay? Miami, state of emergency. Why you wait, Governor, to impose a curfew once spring break starts? Strategy. Is it or is it not? And last and definitely not least, the bubble has burst on the NCAA. I was just wondering when. They had a couple games that were canceled because of COVID prior to the big dance. And now VCU, Virginia Commonwealth University, is the first one to the COVID-19 epidemic. Press one. Let's get in. We got a lot to talk about. So little time to do it. I see you out here. Press one. Come join me. Eric, what's going on in Louisiana? Things are going.
In terms of vaccinations, I understand New Orleans is at the top of the line in terms of getting the vaccinations put out in terms of, I guess, proportionally speaking. So they've done well with, this logistics part of it. And then the number of cases are down also in terms of the COVID deal. So that's, still dealing with the COVID. You know, a lot of cities experience an increase of crime due to COVID. So, New Orleans is trying to fight that battle, the increase of crime that they've had. So those have been the main things that have been going on lately, I guess.
But that seemed to be the spread throughout this country, about the, requirement. It's tough times. And now that we've got that $1 trillion stimulus plan.
Well, you heard about the people, families that were killed in Indiana over the stimulus check, huh?
Desperate times bring on drastic measures.
Guy wanted his girlfriend's stimulus check, half of her stimulus check, and she refused to give it to him, and he decided to just unload his gun on four of them and kill three of them, I think.
And now, all that, he can't even enjoy a stimulus plan. Well,
yeah, but
he won't be doing. He won't have rent for a while. He has free rent for a while at the expense of the taxpayers.
Oh man, tell him what kind of treatment he's gonna get in there, prison.
Yeah,
there may be some street justice going on to deal with his behavior. They said he was probably allegedly he was sort of crazy anyway. You have to think something was loose upstairs for him to do something like that,
Oh, yeah.
For $700, you're just going to...
$700.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just one story that we heard. There could be other stories like that in the country.
Oh, yeah.
We fighting over the, what is it, $2,000.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping that we put it back in the economy anyway.
Yeah, it would be nice.
You know, but I think what we need, you know, there's a generation that we'll never reach right now. All we can do, everyone that's listening, is to train this next generation about saving, being responsible, taking care of their own business, so that by the time they become adults, things will be a lot more stable. That's where I think it should be, training these young folks how to coexist, how to handle their finances. And, folks, we can make it very simple. You know, start out when they're young, give them a couple of dollars, and just see what they do with it. And then that will give you an angle to say, hey, you got $2. Why are you spending it all today? What if you want something tomorrow? Very simple. So our kids can learn how to spend money, how to save money. Because if you only spend a dollar this week and I give you $2 soon, guess what you got? You got three. You got one for what you had the first time. See, I mean, we're all smart enough to build on that. But if we teach the kids how to save, they'll be better off. You know, we're long, long away from the days of putting cans in the yard. I remember my granddaddy said the bank can't tell him when to get his money. And they had those old coffee cans in the yard. You know, they saved. Why can't we teach? Well, that's, you know, we don't have to put the can in the yard anymore. But just teach them off a couple of dollars, folks. And then you reward them. And you, you know, you do both ends just to let them know, you know, what is good as it associated with money. We have to understand the dollar, understand the wealth that is needed in this country, at least for you to survive. So a lot can be learned, folks. Get your grandkids in line. If you have young kids, those who are on the phone, we got to do it. We must do it. Hold on, Eric. We're going to check back with our Roman reporter. I've been doing good deeds today. Ms. Harrell?
Yes, sir.
You probably got this. Okay.
What's up?
We just checked with you.
Yeah, I'm hanging. I had to do a little
right
something. I'm back there for a minute.
Morning,
how y'all doing?
Here. Good morning.
Y'all got going on this morning. Good morning. Good morning. How you doing, my man?
Oh, man, hanging in there, trying to keep up with you, man, doing all that work, man, making us look bad.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Come on now. Come on now.
Well, really, Eric brought up something. I want to see what you say as far as, you know, we do have a homeless concern throughout this country. And would you say that when we find homeless people, is it close to the demographic of that specific neighborhood?
What is that now?
I say we know we have a homeless concern in this country that we live in, but here in Dallas, do you find that ethnic groups, are they near where the concentration of that particular ethnicity is located? I cleaned it up a little bit. Do you find, do you find more Hispanics, more blacks?
Oh, definitely, man. We got in Oak Cliff alone, we done went from having chicken shacks to taco shacks. So they pretty much done flipped the script.
Okay. You know, Eric touched on, you know, a lot of the stores, you have a lot of people from other countries coming in and bring their resources there and get resources. But we all know they live in other places. Nobody lives
yeah.
there. And that can be said
right.
for all over the country, not just in Dallas proper. You know, it can be
mm-hmm.
said all over.
Oh,
but
yeah.
It still breaks my heart when we have all black-owned grocery store and it doesn't make it.
Yeah. Well,
we
go
ahead.
You know all the menu stores, they done flipped to Fiestas, and you know, so it's just a sign of the times.
Well, you know, one reason for that, a lot of our Hispanic brothers and sisters, they use cash, and
oh,
that's
yeah.
why those stores are successful, because they don't have to pay
yeah.
the upcharge on credit cards. You know, they look more for debit cards because it's an even exchange.
Yeah.
But credit card, you know, you pay a certain amount, you know, a certain amount of dollars. But will there ever be another Tulsa, Oklahoma, Chubb, Georgia, Rosewood, Florida, and I'm sure other areas throughout the country? Will we ever see
yeah.
that again? Do you think so, Al?
Highly unlikely. Highly unlikely. And, I mean, we'll be the culprit this time. You know, we won't support it. We're gonna run and give our money to Mr. Charlie. You know, it's water colder. It's ice colder, you know. Yeah, you know, Mr. Charlie, ice colder than the black ice.
But we do understand that they both freeze at 32 degrees, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Long story.
What's that
right,
got to do with anything?
Right, when it costs a tea in China, right. Alright, hold on here, Al.
Alright.
We have another caller. Welcome to the world, according to Drew. What's going on in your world?
Good morning, guys. How are you this morning?
Well, good. Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. I was chiming in. I think you guys were talking about communities and our communities. Part of that is... when we had the communities like Tulsa, they came in and they broke them up. They killed us. They did everything. They did things to keep our communities from growing. And then after that, immigration distorts the rest. Immigration was good, but it came in and it destroyed our communities because you took the children out of the communities. And your community is the children. You follow your children, you do for your children, you help your communities to grow for the children. But they destroyed our communities. It was good, but it destroyed our communities. So we lost that way. And not only that, you get other cultures to come over here. They already know before they come. They teach each other the best way to do, what to look for, where to go, how to do, how to get it done. We don't have that system here. Because our communities have been so disenfranchised, and that was part of what they wanted to do. Now, we don't know how to come together. You have families that do not stick together and do businesses and things together. We have to learn how to come back earth individually with each other and then help our communities to grow.
Well taken. You know, it was a time where if you lived in, say, a rural area, you know, some of the mm-hmm. cities may not have had the fortitude to do it. But if you were growing greens and green beans and another family mm-hmm. was growing corn and mm-hmm. had the hogs, you exchange.
Yeah.
You know, you made it work. But
and that's
share,
what we did.
You know.
No, I'm listening. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I said we don't even stare that way today.
No.
It was simple. It was simple economics. You bring something to the table, you can walk away with something for the day. But we don't even deal with ourselves, meaning your own ethnicity. And I'm talking to African Americans who with goods and services. You know, we have some good people out here to do taxes, and you know, but we're going to hold you to a high standard as well. So we have to learn. I know Dallas has this Black Pages, what we can find. But just as much as we put our faith in our people have to have faith in themselves to serve us in such a way that we all benefit from it. So there are a lot of tricks to the trade out there. And like you said, with Tulsa, where they were self-sufficient, they didn't need anybody. And that's why they got destroyed. Then in Chubb, Georgia, you know, Tulsa was the Black Wall Street. They were really into the financial side of it. And remember in Tulsa, Amoco was there. We had a little tab of Amoco, gas and oil, that kept them going. People may have worked for Amoco, but then they brought the money back to their neighborhood and made it grow. Chubb, Georgia had everything, fire department, police, they were self-sufficient. And everybody was upset because they could not come into Chubb. The roles had reversed if they came through Chubb, Georgia. But they burned it up. See, had we burned up the thing, there would have been consequences associated. So what I really want to mention to the audience, we have the resources. But even when it comes to medicine, we have the resources. Why can't we pool our resources and make life better for everyone, but definitely for those who look like us as well? That's what we need to be doing.
Well, you have other cultures that come. They already know, like I said, before they come. They already have a community before they come. So they enhance each other. We were here. We kept getting destroyed. We keep getting destroyed. We can't go and get loans. Even though we're here, the color of our skin and our community, so we have to learn how to work against this adversity as a people. How do we, as a people that are already here, come back together and get those unions formed? We look at, if I move here, that city has, you know, I move away from where I'm at. But we, even the way we are today, and we're separated, like I have a young kid, but a growing teenager. I tell her friends and her friends' family that we are a community. Even though we live in different places, even though we're not right here next together, if I come to you and my friend, my daughter's a part of your friend, we need to network together to form a community. And that's where I've been able to get support and do, and we have to learn that with each other, that we don't have to live next door. We don't have to live down the street. Right now, we need to, like you, network with your college brothers and sisters. We have to learn how to network with each other. And I think once we learn to network and Zoom just in the Dallas area, in the Fort Worth, in the Metroplex communities and reach out, then we can start coming back as a community. And maybe with our young people, we can get them to grow up into one.
Right. Creating pride. But isn't it amazing how we communicated more with less? And now that we have more of communication, we communicate less. See, we communicated much more with less communication pieces. We had a telephone. Remember, you had party lines. I think everybody on this group understands party lines. We said share the lines, and now we have cell phones, and we do less communication with ourselves, our family members.
Mm-hmm.
you know, whatever the case may be. But we have the resources to do.
Right.
And some people have these nice Fortune 500 jobs, some Fortune 100 jobs here in the Dallas area. And if we don't do anything to take the resources that we've learned here and pool them and make a difference in our neighborhood. You know, you have contacts. You know, we had a guy, Mr. Lee, God bless his soul. If you wanted another room added on your house, you called Mr. Lee. He knew what to do. He may not have had a contract license, but he was skillful. And to this day, what we call here in Texas a den, we call it a Florida room. He put a Florida room on our house. Okay? Those are the type of things. We didn't look outside the neighborhood for resources. Now with the internet, you put in your zip code and everybody calling you. It's trying to get some work. So I know times have changed, but some things we can maintain without all the technology. You know, networking. And hold everybody accountable. If somebody of color botches up something, you're going to hold them accountable. If somebody of less color do it, then we sit up there and allow it to happen. You know, you hold everybody accountable. And I never understood that. A lot of folks, you got to hold them accountable.
Yes.
All right. Well, let me ask you, how do you feel about the vaccinations? How they go on and... I think the president has reached his goal. He said within the 100 days, he was going to have, 100,000, 100, whatever the number was. In your circles, are a lot of people getting the vaccine?
Yes, and I wasn't going to get it. I have a sister in law that's in the healthcare field that was not going to get it. I have a daughter, niece that's in Atlanta. Healthcare field that wasn't going to get it, and you're talking about nurse and doctor, and I wasn't going to get it because I worked with immunizations, a new part of the process, but, you know, at the same time, I'm not in those fields anymore. I'm not working there anymore, but if you're working and you're seeing what's going on and you're living with the death, because they got the immunizations, I'm like, well, I need to go, and then on top of that, like I said, I have a kid. And I had a doctor once that I didn't do the flu shot. And he told me, he said, you're a healthcare worker. You go out in the community. You know you guys be sick up in here. You're spreading it. You're working here with sick people, people that can't breathe on their own. You're spreading it to them. You're making it harder for them to get up, and they don't even know it. They have family members. So, you know, where I was thinking about me, I have to look at it as protection also for others. And then after they did and I thought about it, I'm like, well, I've got a kiddo here. We do drive-by with family members and with others because we can't get out and because of COVID, just trying to keep contact. We even drive out of town and go see family members. Don't go inside with COVID. And I'm like, this is not making any sense. I need to protect me. I need to protect others. Yes, there's a lot of people have gotten it. Not sure what it's going to do, but, hey, it's been better than death. It's been better than being in the hospital where the healthcare workers can't provide you with what you need because they're so overwhelmed. So I think we need to get it. I think all these strands that's coming up, unless you have something that's out here fighting against it, you're going to continue to have strands, and those strands are going to be stronger, and they're going to be more persistent. So, yeah, I believe in immunization. I believe it needs to be done because this is just not in a community. This is worldwide. This is a worldwide famine, in a sense, because it has caused famine. It has caused so much. So what are you going to do to get out of the famine? And if not, you at least have to try something. Something is better than nothing.
Correct. Correct. And for those who are listening, I'm understanding or hearing that Parkland Hospital have so many dosages where they prepare for Dallas County, and there are so many people that are crossing county lines in order to get their shot, the COVID shot. Folks, check with the county first, and then if your county is so booked up, then check the next county. Because I know people in Rockwall County that have come over to Dallas. Dallas had gone over to Ellis County and various places. It's important, folks. You know, we've all fought it. I've taken it. It's, and I'm still working in the hospital area, in the RAM. So, and then considered a first liner. So it makes sense for me to, like you said, not only defend or protect myself, but you protect your family, your friends, all of that, everybody that you come in contact with. So it's still your choice. Nobody's going to make you do anything, those who are listening. But if you love yourself and you love your family, then I don't have to say any more than that. You do what's right for you, for those who are around you. Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Let's see. We as we approach the bottom of the hour, always read your African American newspapers. Again, we have Texas Metro News. We have the Garland Journal and iMessenger. Please read these publications. You can find them online. We have one of the most talented publishers in America today. I even call her my investigative reporter. She's done great things. If you remember, there was a gentleman going through North Dallas that was raping women, and primarily the women of Delta Sigma Theta. That was the common thread. They finally caught him, and she stayed on the case, even when the case was cold. And that tells you her commitment not only to give us information, but to stay on a cold case. And oftentimes we forget about things more so than just to follow up. And she's doing wonderful things, and I'm so glad I'm a part. You know, I've seen worthy enough to be a part of her organization. So I try to bring a different little flair. You know, in this, I'm really a sports guy, but I've been talking all my life, so I try to talk about everything and stay versed on it. But if you get a chance, read those publications. You can find them online. And as one of the columnists always say, we got to quit playing. We got to read, folks. You got to read and understand. And the services that people that advertise in the paper, you have to make sure that you follow up. I'm telling you, it's a beautiful thing. Beautiful thing. Well, ma'am, you can hang on a little bit, or, you know, you can press one out and stay with us through the show. But, you know, you brought it home, the community. You don't have to stay in the same area, but it's your networking, the people that you communicate with, to try to make things better with a teenage child, you know. And these kids now, and I'm going to say from 10 to 25, especially to 25, they feel they're invincible. And you can see what happened in Miami. I tell you, that was all political. DeSantis did not put the curfew in place until the spring break started. You know, a lot of the community people may have known the cops were in place, but when people start booking their hotels, this was never mentioned, that they were going to shut down at 8 o'clock. And so, of course, people rebelled. That's what you do. That's the response, you know, cause and effect. You created a cause, and that's the effect you got. So a lot of that is going on. It's the dollar over life that a lot of our states are going with. And speaking of that, when our governor here in Texas said he was going to lift, you have to remember, about a week ago, it was all about spring break. It was all about making his constituency happy that they were opening up things. And even yesterday, I went around just looking, people watching, to see who had their mask on. As you can see, some didn't. I still love the idea of a lot of businesses still asking you, no mask, no service. I can really appreciate that. But oftentimes, you'll see people didn't have their mask on. And it's like crazy. No social distancing. What is it going to take for everybody to understand that this phenomenon of COVID is taking lives? What is it going to take? Some people have had it and felt the worst they've ever felt in their lives. And I thank God that they're able to tell us about it. But then again, think about all the people that can tell you about it. And I gave you numbers this morning. In our country alone, you have 541,000 people. They can't tell you how they felt during the COVID episode. Again, 541,000 people. Let me put it on a larger scale. Worldwide, 2.71 million people can't tell you how it feels to have COVID right now. Think about that. Too many vaccines in the area, the Metroplex. Folks, if you know people who are having difficulty getting their vaccine, call your county at first, and then check with Parkland. Parkland got a lot of doses, and people still not taking advantage of it. In order to get over this hurdle, we need our vaccinations, folks. Some people have gone through it. Some antibodies have been establishing these bodies, but we just need it. I'm telling you, I've seen it. The front end and the back end, it ain't pretty. It ain't pretty at all. And some of the things as healthcare providers over the years of aggressiveness or trying to save lives, we have situations where you don't even try to attempt to do cold blue. I'm telling you, that's what we're seeing. You have practitioners that are afraid in these situations. This is a whole new era, folks. And if getting your shot can prevent, not to say it's 100% proofful, but it puts you a lot closer to 100% than not taking the test and not getting your shot. You got to know. Brothers, I know we see some things fall off your fingers and toes. You can't do that anymore. We need to take a page from our sisters who go in twice a year, and we got to do what's right. Now for ourselves, before our families. And that's my commentary. So as we go, again, open forum. We talked about, of course, the vaccines, the hate crimes in Atlanta. I'm calling them hate crimes. And my question is always, you know this guy killed these folks. How is he able to talk about it? Had it been someone of color, they may not have had the opportunity to tell their side of the story. I just call it like I see it. The scales of justice. Is it heavy on one side or is it balanced? Well, we know it's heavy on one side. Because if we had balance, we'll see it in the courtrooms, which we don't. Now, it's about 36 minutes after the hour. Let me throw this out there. Governor Cuomo in New York is getting a lot of cases of sexual assault, sexual misconduct, things of that nature. Now, this story is not old. Remember, the commander-in-chief had cases. And we didn't see anything done. I personally feel, and it's not to discredit the ladies, but all of a sudden, I think it is, they know he has aspirations of doing more. Now all of a sudden it's an issue. You know, I pray that these ladies, if anything, and we have to say if anything, because we don't know right now, that we get them the necessary help that is needed through this ordeal. And I feel sorry for them. But now, even in everyday life, we're getting this political ping pong going on. The reason I call it political ping pong, if you look in Houston, Deshaun Watson, the quarterback, refused to play for Houston. Well, he has 9 ladies that have spoke up now. They're all represented by, I think, Peterson, the attorney, who is very good friends with the owner of the Houston Texans. Now, I can't say what I want to say, but in your mind, there's no Sherlock. I won't say that on the air, but I'm going to let you know that's what I'm thinking, that you have the attorney who's a friend of the owner, that a kid doesn't want to play for his organization. When he signed up for all that money and all these other years, nothing was said of this. If he's guilty, let's find him guilty. But I just think it's ironic that this has occurred. I can't remember the show, but one thing it says, things that make you go, I think that was Arsenio Hall. All of a sudden, these things are coming out. But again, it could happen for others. And with the previous president, well, he's a man. Well, no, every man don't act like that. I have not acted like that. But the tables have turned. Why do we continue to do it? With the Congress and how they're doing things, I'm telling you, this world is crazy right now, right here in America. Everybody needs to know that I'm not discrediting the young ladies. I feel bad for them. And even if there's truth or lies, we need to know the truth about the situation. But how ironic. And again, I don't think Cuomo is married. And that doesn't give him a pass to do what he does. That I understand. But I can tell you this. From personal experience, leadership brings on company that you don't always want, that you don't always need. I can tell you that from a personal standpoint. Where do we go from here? I'm just upset again. You don't want to play for the kid, play for the owner, and all of this arises. You know, let's get to the truth. Because oftentimes lies ruin lives. Lives. I said it in my head, I had to get it right. It will ruin someone's career, their livelihood. But the truth, it needs to come out. Let's get to the bottom of it. But again, I'm just, what the heck is going on? We open. Press 1 if you want to talk about it. Anything. This is your platform. This is your platform to bring it out. The bubble burst on the NCAA have teams there. The NIT here in Texas, one playing in Frisco, one playing in Denton. First time in 60-plus years for you sports enthusiasts that it's never been held, that it had not been held in New York City for the final. It's going to be in Texas. Something to think about. But in the big dance that they did not play last year, Virginia Commonwealth came up positive. Oregon moves on. They're in several places. And the ladies start today in San Antonio. So Texas is pretty popular. I guess it might be with the tax structure here or what they pay for conventions or whatever. Texas is getting a lot of attention. Spring break, everything. Everything's going on here. But, folks, we have to focus on self. We have to focus. That start with self and then branch out with family and friends and community. That's what we need to do. I don't know how to put it otherwise. There's a lot on the table now. A lot. Voting rights. How do you, you know, Selma, we got voting rights over 50 years ago. And now they're trying to change, say you can't vote by mail. You can't do this. You can't vote for it. Oh, I'm sorry. Voter suppression. All this is going on. Trying. And you can see how they're fighting because they lost the election. Well, you know how you beat any of that? You register and you vote. Power is in numbers. We found that out. The country is going through a metamorphosis as it relates to politics. And everybody's backpedaling on the Republican side. What can we do? How did we lose it? How can we gain it back? And I'm sure if the shoe was on the other foot, they'd probably be thinking the same. But again, filibustering, and that's been going on for a while. I thought we would have some normalcy as it relates to some of the voting that's coming out for all Americans. But it's going to be interesting. The first 2 years and the last 2 years is going to reflect what goes on in this midterm election. We have to see what's going to go on. And some of these politicians are fighting for their lives. They didn't need a stimulus. They continue to get their checks. They have the best health care in the world, access to it. So they're not really thinking about a lot of things. So, folks, we just have to step up, be involved, take care of ourselves, take care of our family, take care of our community. That's where it starts, where it ends. It's about 45 minutes after the hour, and I'm going to open things up. All you got to do is press 1, folks. If you have a question of me, please feel free. Oftentimes, we don't have a forum where you're able to speak out and get some information. Well, it's here. I'm right here waiting on you. All you got to do is press 1, and then we'll alert me. I'm going to get the last 15 minutes. I'm going to continue to talk, but I want you to get your questions in. Don't be shy. I know a couple of these numbers. I know they're not shy. But let me, while you get your thoughts together, another thing about this COVID, how it's affecting, I tell you, with 19, it was labeled in no November of 2019. And a year later now is when the world, or should I say America, changed its ways. And we'll, in our generation, I don't think things will ever be the same. They could get better, but it was such a shock. You know, such a shock when it came to fruition. Vaccine. And folks, if you're still not sure about this COVID, read up on it and see how the little spurs have come into our, get into our lungs. People have chest pain, low oxygen level. They even have blood clots. A lot of people distally have created problems. And we say distal, that's the furthest point away from the heart, in the leg. They have traveling blood clots. They get on blood thinners. It is a cascade of things when you have COVID. And so we need you all to do what's right for you and your family. So, again, just press 1. Press 1 and let me know. Hell, you back out there?
Yes, sir. Hey, I just was gonna say, man, your boy in Atlanta claimed he was having a bad day. That's all it was, man. It was just a bad day.
So you gonna kill people?
Yeah.
Wow.
They got a special place in jail and hell for him.
A bad day. And you know what we're going to hear next? He has some psychological problems. And that's going to give him a stay of execution. Watch. Had it been you,
yeah, you already know that's what, you know that's what the defense going to be.
Oh, yeah. And I know what defense attorneys are paid for. Even the past president said he could shoot somebody, slap somebody in Times Square and get away with it. Everybody think they're above the law on that one. Very, very disheartening when it comes to that.
So do you think that's a case of white privilege or what?
I think so in this case. We do that. I mean, as the folks at Stephen wanted to see that one, he lived to talk about it. He's able to give a statement that he was having a bad day. But how many people who have died in the custody of police or been shot that don't have the opportunity to tell you they were having a bad day, even if they were having a bad day? Sandra Bland would never be able to tell us. Freddie Gray would never be able to tell us. The brother Castillo in Minnesota could tell us. Everyone has died in custody or the hands of police officers are now permanently silenced and would never be able to tell us if they had a bad day. And sometimes we say, well, they had a bad day and it'll never get worse. Well, for these people, it got as worse as it could get situations. Why? Does it have to have a face that's similar to mine? They can't talk about it when something is being done out there in the world. They followed this guy. And even Cherokee County said, well, nothing like this has ever happened in our county. Lead on this. And then he goes to Atlanta. You talking about police sensitivity. What the heck is that? And y'all, you know I almost slipped in, but I called myself this Sunday morning. What the heck is that? You know, the brother in Sacramento with a cell phone gets shot umpteen times. Cell phone in his hand. But we didn't see the cell phone look like a gun. I think the sensitivity need to be done on, you know, you got officers. The whole community, everybody, we need sensitivity training. Because it hurts when the scenario is similar, but the outcome is not the same. It hurts. Because it could have easily been me. Could have easily been some of you. You know, and it just burns me up from the inside. Hell, as I've always said, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, and justice for all. It ain't just justice for all. It's justice for some. That's what hurts. It has been going on a long time. Yeah, we have our phones, we have social media. But I'm sure we can drive anywhere from here to Austin, here to Tyler, here to Sherman. I'm trying to go in every direction. And here to Abilene. And there's some people who were silent that we don't even know about. When you demand more, you get more. The way we can demand is by voting. Get your vote in the best way you can. But when they're in Washington trying to change up the game because their game didn't benefit them, now they're back to the drawing board. Trying to change it up. It is a crazy world that we live in. We got to do like grandmother used to tell us. Say your prayers before you go to sleep. I know we all, if you grew up in the house like I did, you know you had to say them. But if I took a poll right now, how many say their prayers before they go to sleep? Our prayers were all similar. God bless mom and daddy, my family. The Lord help me pass the test tomorrow. You know how you were as a kid. Some of us prayed like that and look, pray now so I can get through a day at work. Yeah. But the simple things that we used to do meant so much. And we've gotten to the point where we've lost focus on our prize, whatever the prize may be. We got to get together. We got to stick together. You know, I was listening the other day, we were talking about, at one time it was black and it was white, as far as how jobs were dispersed. You know, they got one or two blacks in affirmative action. After we got those high-paying jobs, they came in and changed the minority field when they put a white female in the mix. So you had the white male, the white female, and then the black. Okay, we moved. We went from number two, now we slide down to number three. Then you get other nationalities to come over, and then our pool has broadened, but now we've gone from the second spot to the third, to the fourth or fifth spot because of other nationalities that have come in. Of all these people, we did not ask to come. They talk about reparations. What they just need to do something, and they acknowledge it. I don't know if there's going to be any monetary gains with it. But we have such an ugly past in this country. if we can't make a means to make it better in our lifetime, I would love to see that. Will it happen? Only heaven knows. So as we wind things down, folks, I was hoping I'd get a couple of questions. You know, I don't mind being put on the firing squad. I'll answer the best I can. But you know what? We'll get back next Sunday. Get your stuff together. I'll be ready. That we can make a difference. If I can change one thought process, and I'm for everybody. Everybody. But I realize, too, that everybody's not for me. And that's okay. But I'm going to do what's best for me and my family. And I want you to do the same as well. And my personal motto, it's not what you call me, it's what I answer to. Hey, I'm a little rebel within my own right. Again, if you call me out on my name, I'm not going to retaliate. I just don't hear you. Oh, excuse me, you were talking to me? Because the power that we had, we don't have anymore. But the responsibility that we carry is much more than any personal gain I could ever achieve. You have a family, you think about your family. That's what we need. As we wrap things up, Cheryl, thank you for the opportunity. I guess, thank you for your participation. And we made it. We made it. I'll be back next week. And as Lamont was told by Fred, guess what? I'm out. Peace.